Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of The Thunder Heist, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, starting with Michael R. Fletcher.
Hi, I'm Michael R. Fletcher, author of such fantastic fantasy novels as Beyond Redemption.
Rob J. Hayes.
Hi, I'm Rob J. Hayes, author of This Little To-Do List.
Ooh, very nice.
And Dirk Ashton.
I'm Dirk Ashton, and I am the author of the Paternus Trilogy.
Nice. And today's episode is a cover critique and blurb critique episode. So a couple of weeks ago, we did an episode where we asked you to send in covers and blurbs of your books that you would like feedback on, and feedback we shall provide. We had 4 people send through some covers and blurbs. These are for published books that are already out there. Just so you're aware, we're going to be super harsh because, as Mike was saying before the recording, it's not about trying to preserve anyone's feelings. It's about trying to make the books as good as they could possibly be. So you are warned in advance.
I don't remember saying that.
I do.
I think he's he's not quite paraphrasing. He's just randomly making shit up and blaming.
No, he's actually very angry. We're not talking about butts.
Wow. The butt episode is next.
The butt episode might be a Patreon-only episode. No, probably not. Yes. So how this is going to work is I'm going to pull up the book's Amazon page on my screen. So apologies to people who are listening to the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, I will provide a brief audio description of what the cover looks like. And I'll also read the blurb out as well. So I'm going to pull up the first book now, which is The Scald's Black Verse by Jeremy Loyal Short. So let me see if I can share this screen.
It's a cool title.
Nope, you just killed Rob.
There we go. What's going on?
Ooh, there it is.
Can you guys see this? So I'm going to read out the blurb. So I'm going to describe the cover. So the cover looks like it's like a man with stag horns erupting up from his head, standing in front of this sort of volcanic-y looking red background.
Is that a moon exploding in the background?
Yeah, it looks like a moon is exploding in the background. Yeah, it's quite
got a nice coloring with the sort of the glow set behind the guy, so it's like a silhouette.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'll read out the blurb now, and then we'll go.
Let's do the cover and then do the blurb after.
Well, I'll do the blurb so that people who are listening to the show and can't see the cover will understand what it's about, and then that way we can tie in. So the blurb is: the world is ending, and if the Norn don't rise up, they're dead. The unwanted son of a conquering soldier, Bro will soon discover that he is cursed, haunted, a berserker. When a strange murder sparks unrest in his tiny hamlet, Bro becomes the prime suspect. Hunted by invaders from another world, only the forbidden blood magic of the Scalds can save him. To survive, Bro must unravel dire omens, uncover family secrets, and lead a desperate revolt against the empire that spans the heavens. But dark forces gather in the shadows, intent upon a rebellion of their own.
All right. I like that.
It's a pretty cool blurb.
The only thing I might do is add something other than uncover family secrets. Uncover something family secrets.
So right? What do we want to
make it seem like first. more than just family secrets? Grandma slept with a ogre once, you know?
All right, we'll get to the blurb in a second, but let's do cover first. We're going to try to keep it to 5 minutes per book. What do you guys think of the cover initially? Rob, do you want to kick us off if you're still there?
Yeah, I'm having some technology issues. Right, cover. I think the cover's pretty good. It taps into one of the sort of like the classic fantasy covered styles, which is you have person standing there, you know, in epic pose and big looming threat behind them. Mm-hmm. It you see it all the time. It's done, you know, in fantasy covers all over the place. So I think that does it quite well. And I mean, yeah, it's interesting. It's like, you know, it's got some questions in it. Why has he got horns or antlers, I suppose? Mm-hmm. You know, why is the moon exploding, which is all pretty cool. Yeah.
It captures the
typography. Seems to sort of fit with, I'm guessing, it feels quite Norse, which I'm guessing is what the theme is. So, no, I think the cover's good.
Yeah, me too.
Mike, do you have any other thoughts on the cover?
Yeah, all right. So for me, I'm never a fan of that sort of like blend of photography and artwork. The moon and the stars in the background sort of push it into borderline science fiction territory. Like my first thought it was like, oh, it's a, you know, science fiction fantasy novel or something, maybe because there's a moon. Typography and stuff is okay. The name is tiny. Jordan Loyal Short. We self-publish authors. I swear we're embarrassed about putting our names on our books.
I would make it bigger.
Fuck yeah. It's your book. Like slap your name on there. Yep. You know, that's tiny. So that's it. For me, it pushes like a little bit of that science fiction button. It's not a terrible cover though, but like it looks cool. It's just
It feels horror to me also.
Yeah. And I'm looking at his legs,
which is okay.
He's got those are some hairy calves.
Yeah. Well, he's also got antlers, so it makes you think is he a beast man?
Or is he wearing leggings?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with wearing leg warmers. We missed the 80s, okay?
Oh, yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, I think echoing some of those sentiments, it's not immediately apparent to me. If I was just looking at this cover in isolation, I'm not exactly sure if I would know what genre this is. I think this could definitely fit within a sort of horror type cover. It could, definitely have some sort of science fiction elements to it. So that would probably be my main bit of feedback is like, I'm not immediately sure this is a fantasy cover per se. From an aesthetic standpoint, I really, really like it. It's quite cool. Even though, I feel like for fantasy book covers, I much prefer the sort of illustrated style rather than the, photo realistic, photoshopping blend of stuff. But I do understand why people do it. I did it for one of my previous books and it's a lot cheaper than the illustrated things. I just feel like the main thing for me is it does raise an interesting question, which is, the person with the antlers in it. I do wonder if it stands out that well when it's a small little thumbnail.
That's probably the most important thing because in the current sort of like day and age when you're self-publishing, thumbnails are more important than the larger picture anyway, because that's all people actually see. Like most people do their shopping on their phone or on Amazon or whatever, and all they really see is the cover and thumbnail. That's the only time they'll look at it, and then they'll never see it again.
On that point, it's worthwhile remembering that a lot of Kindles still only show black and white, so it might be worthwhile, Jeremy, like having a look at this cover in black and, sorry, at Jordan, looking in the cover in black and white and just asking yourself, does that still communicate what I want it to communicate?
Worry personally about black and white, but that's not a bad idea. I've never worried about it before. I would like to see what the title looks like in a metallic blue. Not that I'm saying it would be better, but I'd kind of like to see what it would look like.
Cool. Do we want to talk about the blurb? Seems like we're fairly happy with the cover.
Yeah, I like the blurb. I would just say uncover terrifying family secrets or something, right?
So basically, you reckon the end is the second blurb.
Fantastical family secrets, something to punch it up a little bit.
Yeah, for me, it falls short. It's not selling the book. It's a little flat. So the world is ending, and if the Norn don't rise up, .. they're dead. I mean, we're into ellipses like right away.
It doesn't really need the ellipses.
Yeah. Go for the feels, less sort of detail. Like you can read this and you kind of know what's going to happen in the book and how it's going to end, which I think you need to lure people in a little more, tell them less about what the book actually is about, and just make it sound really fucking gratuitously cool. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a good place that Jordan could start is like, there's clearly been a lot of reviews for this book. So if you have a look at those and just see like, what are the cool elements that people are picking out of your reviews? Like those are maybe the things to lead with in a blurb.
That's really good advice. Yeah.
I don't know. I think the first paragraph, the bit about, you know, where you mentioned the name, Bror, I think that's good because it straight away establishes here's the main character. It sets the fact that he's this sort of like, you know, probably a veteran sort of type who's trying to then survive in his little village on his own or whatever. And then, you know, there's some sort of murder and he's a prime suspect. I think that's a good one.
Hmm.
I think that the second paragraph doesn't have enough of a hook.
Yeah, agreed.
And the sort of like the final little line just doesn't add anything. It's just dark forces. So personally, I think that, yeah, maybe a bit more of a hook in the second paragraph. Change the final little hook there to actually be a bit more, something more than just dark forces, because dark forces are everywhere. They're just in everything.
Yeah. I actually just noticed sci-fi. Mm-hmm. So actually, in that case, that cover's fucking perfect. I stand corrected. The cover is now exactly what it should be.
Yeah. Grimdark sci-fi. True.
Sci-fi. I thought it was just a fantasy novel. It was sort of not quite working for that. But for
make that bigger, maybe bolder. Yeah. Yeah.
Be honest, I'd possibly swap out the tagline for just that. You know, you're immediately saying this is a mashup of Norse fantasy and grimdark and sci-fi, which is like, you know, for the crowd, the audience that you're aiming for, that's going to be a draw. That's a hook. Just, oh wait, here's this crazy blend of,
yeah,
you know,
maybe put that up top.
Of the tagline, which, and it's kind of there.
There's the reviews included in the sort of description, product description there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would go through and sort those and put your sort of biggest bang, most, hyperbole laden reviews first. Because like the very first one is like a good dialogue. It's like, yeah, so fucking what? It's not exciting. You know, put the one that's like this fucking... Yeah. Raped my mind. Pillaged my emotions.
Down to those blurbs.
What do we got? Let's pick the most interesting one out of this, and then we probably have to move on from this book soon. But these are good.
Yeah,
points.
I'm a little confused by the Weeping Sigil stuff.
Is that the name of the series?
What are you talking about? Because that's not on the cover or anywhere up top.
Well, maybe it's a different book.
Oh, no, Weeping Sigil is the second book in this series.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't put that in the blurb for the first book.
Well, it's, very confusing, it's agree, okay yeah. if you do, but I would put Praise for the Weeping Sigil series up top. What is then, Dread Bound? It says Praise for the Dread. Oh, he does have the Dread Bound, which is the, okay. But okay. Then I take out, that's good, but the Dread Bound Ode, just put, instead of ellipses, put a colon. Then take out Weeping Sigil. Just put in Never Stops. It has relentless forward motion and took everything that I love from the Skald's Black Verse. No.
Weeping Sigil. So hold on, wait. The Skald's Black Verse is book one, right?
Yeah.
Are there any reviews there for the first book listed?
This is the first book.
No, no, but all those reviews are for later books.
Yeah.
That's
two of them are for the Weeping Sigil.
Well, I like that second cover with the purple.
Yeah, this is the second book in the series here, the Weeping Sigil. I do agree. It's a bit confusing how there's like some reviews for this book and then some reviews for the next one.
That just needs to be clarified. You don't have to name the books as long as you're talking about the
series.
The series, yeah. Hmm.
Okay, well, let's move on from this book.
Yeah, and I'd say praise for the Dreadbound Ode series.
Yeah, that's a better way of phrasing it.
Because that's like, what? Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. Okay, book number two.
Okay, cool.
Thanks for sending that in. Nice work, Jordan. Looks like you're doing something right. 52 reviews on that book, and they seem to be pretty high ratings. So
yeah,
it's a solid
sign. Hopefully, we didn't ramble too much and make absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Okay, book number two, The Swordsman's Lament by G.M. White. I'll just read out the blurb. The cover is sort of like a pattern style thing where there's like a circular pattern with some runes around it. Or some symbols around it, and it's on like a sort of textured background that looks a bit like parchment-y, leathery, with some floral decorations in the corners.
Swordsman in the background in the black,
possibly
like a hat.
Very hard.
No, there is the swordsman. I even know the artist because you can.
It's either
the artist on stock shutterstock.
It's either a swordsman or a pirate ship. I'm not quite sure.
So here's the cover. Do we want to have some thoughts on the cover before we get into the blurb, or do we want to look at the blurb so we know what we're sort of?
Let's do the cover first. And
it's kind of a classic, kind of edging towards classic tradpub, what they're doing with things. I kind of like the design, except everything looks shoved to the bottom. For some reason, I can see why they didn't want to cover up the top of the swordsman's head. But it looks odd not centered in that circle, if you're going to go with this style of design. I really like the sun and the moon at the bottom. I'm not thrilled with the flower, with the fleur-de-lis kind of things at the top. But it kind of depends on what kind of book this is. We haven't looked at the blurb yet, so.
I mean, I agree. It is sort of like it's another one of the classic styles, which is this sort of like symbol style cover that you'll see quite often. Like you want a good example, like the Will White Cradle covers. They're all a symbol basically on the cover, which is, is supposed to say, hey, fantasy, which I guess this kind of does. Personally, I don't like the colors. They don't do anything. And the swordsman just disappears. So I mean, especially in thumbnail, you won't even know he's there. It'll just be like, hey, here's a little black bit behind the title.
Yeah. I mean, even now, like blown up, you can only kind of tell it's a swordsman, a person with a hat and more swords.
In thumb, it's just
a black blur.
Yeah.
It's just some stuff.
For me, this cover doesn't work at all. But I mean, I just think that it doesn't. The colors don't make it stand out. The swordsman disappears. I don't like the little floral fleur-de-lis or whatever they are at the top.
It doesn't seem very exciting. I'm just gonna honestly say that I might be a terrible judge of both blurbs and covers because I see covers that I think are just crap, and they sell a fucking shitloads of books. You guys know how much I love Will White, right?
Yeah.
I love Will. I hate his covers.
Why? They're just terrible.
Yeah, they're just terrible.
It sells like all of
but
us combined.
But it doesn't matter, 10. Right? And I'll see other ones and I'm like, how is that have 1,000 reviews, But so I might be a bad... Plus, I like really short description. I mean, I see a lot of them that go on for paragraph after paragraph and I'm like, if you don't catch me in the first couple of lines in the first paragraph, I'm not going to read the rest of it. I really don't care.
And yet
people put in really long ones and do really, really, really well too. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like this cover to me just doesn't seem that exciting. I feel like the way to do this type of cover where it has these sort of symbols and it's like this more sort of patterny thing is to really lean into that more. Like a good example is, I feel like if you look up like the Six of Crows anniversary editions or whatever, I'll get it up on my screen. Six of Crows special cover. Yeah, there we go. So
yeah,
this one here, it just like, it leans into it. It like has symbols that crowd sort of every inch of it. Oh, let me open that in.
And they really stand out as well because of the colors, because it's sort of like this vibrant, you know, almost ruby red on a black cover.
And much larger a text for the title.
Yes.
Which I think is important. I would almost just try if you wanted to keep with stay with that cover, try just zooming everything in, right? Make the pirate bigger, right? Or the swordsman bigger. Make everything, just zoom in. I don't think it matters that the whole compass here fits, right? Just zoom in on the whole thing and see what happens.
Yeah, it definitely
zoom in on the whole thing and nudge it all up, right? The background.
See, I think the thing is, if you look at the two covers, I mean, we can't do side by side, I guess, but if you look at them,
there
is nothing on the Swordsman Lament cover that asks any questions, right? There's nothing that makes you go, what's that? Whereas on the Six of Crows, you're like, you know, you're sort of like straight away, what? We've got, like, is that a plague doctor mask? That's pretty cool. There's bombs. What's the key score? There's, you know, there's the birds, which might look mechanical. There's a lot of questions.
Yeah, I would darken and make the Swordsman fully black. And zoom the whole thing in and nudge it up just to see how that works.
Yeah, may also be worthwhile trying to get rid of these weird triangle things on the top and bottom, because then maybe the middle circle looks more interesting. I think
if you zoom way in on it, that might not be a problem anymore.
Yeah, I think the kind of main feedback that we're getting at here is, like, if you're going to go for this sort of symbol flat style to the cover, like, just really push it and make it interesting. That's probably the main bit of feedback. Okay, now onto the blurb itself. That's the other one. Okay, The Swordsman's Lament, the Royal Champion, book one. So it opens with a quote: refreshingly different take, a fast-paced and intelligent fantasy story.
A
dead prince, a grieving king, a legendary swordsman accused of murder. Loyalty counts for nothing when the king demands blood. Geez, this is a long one. In the ancient city of Villain, wealth and power descend from proximity to the throne. Mm-hmm. As royal champion and confidant to the king, Belasco thought he was beyond intrigues and machinations. But when the grief-stricken king demands vengeance for his murdered son, Belasco discovers he is expendable. His options are clear: find the killer or die for a crime he didn't commit. Forced into the city's bleak underbelly as the palace mobilizes against him, Belasco finds unlikely allies in his hunt for the truth. Can the veteran survive to protect his friends and prove his innocence? Join Belasco as he hunts the real killer from the royal courts to the depths of the city's criminal underworld, finally learning the true meaning of the Swordsman's Lament. And then it has just some quotes after that. I feel straight up this is very long for a blurb.
Yeah, I think honestly, Rob was going to say get rid of refreshingly different take, because unless it says refreshingly different take of something, I would just go with a fast pace and intelligent fantasy.
I'd get rid of it. Just get rid of that whole line. There's no point. Go straight into the blurb. Go straight into something that makes you want to read the book.
I like this. A dead prince, a grieving king, a legendary swordsman accused of murder. I'm caught, right? Yeah,
me too.
That is I don't need to read. Loyalty counts for nothing when the king demands blood.
Delete everything after that.
No, that works.
I'm not kidding.
I mean, like I said, I like short ones.
I would do this.
Do a legendary swordsman accused of murder in, get rid of the other loyalty one. In the ancient city, use the first paragraph and then just get rid of the rest of it. Put this blurb down with the other blurbs. A story about friendship, betrayal, and doing the right thing, no matter the cost. This breakneck fantasy thriller is perfect for fans of David Gemmell. Sebastian D. Castiel is not Is that Castell? Is that Castell. Pronounced correct? Is that written, spelled correctly? And Miles Cameron.
Okay, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't even, what you've highlighted there, Jed, I wouldn't even have the final paragraph in that. I don't think it's needed. Just go for it. You know, you've got your tagline, which you could put into one line, or you can keep it as those four, I guess.
Yeah, and I would then, put these three into one line, I reckon, and then the one after that in. Because then that way, when it's showing the preview, like when it's showing the read less like this, if you have...
I really like that line. I saw a blurb down there, a proper swashbuckling adventure. Put that one up top.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's more
put
compelling.
That one. If you want to put something up top, use that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You don't even need the gave me some serious greatcoats vibes. Just have a proper swashbuckling adventure.
Yeah, exactly. It's really hard sometimes to whittle down blurbs for me.
If you scroll down a bit, Jed, you've got this last bit here. Yeah, the story about friendship betrayal, blah, 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 with, you know, comparisons. That's actually good, but you need a call to action on the end of it as well. Like a lot of blurbs, you'll see a lot of very successful blurbs do this. They'll have right at the end of their blurb, they'll have this little thing. It's usually in italics, actually, which is just like that. It'll have a comparison to three similar things. But then you need that call to action, which is just like, you know, pick it up today or
try it now. Like yeah.
Yeah.
But I would cut that all down to a breakneck fantasy thriller, perfect for fans of David Gemmell, Sebastian B. Castell, and Miles Cameron. A breakneck, yeah, I get rid of that other stuff about I'm a bad judge, but when I see a stories about friendship, I'm like,
I don't know, man. Cozy fantasy is all the rage at the moment.
I know, but this doesn't look
cozy?
Like a cozy fantasy.
It's a story about friendship. Come on, it's cozy.
That seems to me, I would just say a breakneck fantasy thriller, perfect for fans of David Gemmell, Sebastian D. Castile, and Miles Cameron. Try it now.
I also wonder, what do you guys think about cutting out this line here? In the ancient city of Villain, wealth and power descend from proximity to the throne. I feel like it just slows us down before we get into the character.
Yeah, start
I would
off
go right into, yeah. I would just say royal champion and confident to the king, Belasco thought, not as royal champion, but just royal champion and confident to the king. Belasco thought he was beyond intrigues and machinations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a really cool setup.
And then I don't need any of the rest of it.
No, I agree. I think this one just needs, you know, about half of it just cut.
Yeah.
But it's good. It actually makes me want to read it.
Yeah, this seems cool.
Do it then, Dirk. Read it.
I want to read so many books. Right now I have two beta reads. I had one that I promised I would do like a year ago. He wants it, the notes, by April 1st. Then another really good friend who I told 2 years ago I would read when he finished his thing also wants his by the end of the March. And I just got a request from another author who has been really helpful to me. So I don't want to say no.
We'll say no for you.
He's cool whenever I get to him. But
in that case, read
that's
my book.
Three. And I'm so slow. It would take me a month normally to read books of those lengths just by themselves.
All right, next. Anyway,
I think we provided some helpful information for GM right there.
Yeah, I think so. GM, hope that is useful. I feel like, the blurb definitely has amazing potential. I think we're probably a bit more mixed on the cover, but the blurb seems really solid. It's clearly done good. You've got 45 ratings and 4.5 star average, or 4.3. So you seem to be onto something here. I think just, refining the cover is probably the biggest potential for improving sales here. Cool. So before we get to the next, let's do the next two books in a second part of this episode, because this one's going for a bit long. So thank you, everybody, for sending your covers in. We'll be back next week. I'm losing my ability to speak. We'll be back next week with two more covers. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Sorry for the podcast listeners if this was a bit too visual. You can always check out our YouTube channel for the actual visuals of this, which might be useful. And yeah, if you want to help support the show, head on over to patreon.com/wizardswarriorswords. And thanks to all our patrons for helping keep us on the air. All right.
Yeah, and you guys will, the people who are listening only will be happy that you can't see it when we get to the butts episode.
And on that note, see everybody next week. See ya.
Ciao, folks. Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.